Well, good morning, everyone. It's always a delight to be able to see you, and welcome to our guest here today. We're glad to have some extra folks here to help fill up our building, and glad that we've got people who have been ailing who are back, and look forward to being able to talk to all of you today. I assigned myself a sermonette here today, and I had a thought in mind that I needed to see if I can actually give a sermonette anymore. I usually, talk for a little longer than that, and Ewan reminded me that I better be within the time frame, and I better not use more than three scriptures. Now that, that may be a real challenge, but I'm going to at least try. I hope it'll be something that can be helpful to you. All of us know that here within a couple of weeks we'll be coming to the time of the Passover. And we're all preparing for that. We're getting ready for that. And one of the things that's important about the Passover, and as we examine ourselves, and we're actually directed this in the words of Jesus. Whenever he tells us, and this is actually what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11. Jesus gave the directive whenever he instituted the Passover in the New Testament with the bread and the wine. He gave a directive to do this in remembrance of me, remembering Jesus Christ. And I want to focus a little bit on that today as far as remembering. The value of remembering. Why is it that we need to remember? Well, we certainly need to remember what Christ has done for us and what his sacrifice has done for us. And yet, I want to focus on the fact that remembering is an important element of examining ourselves. We not only are going to be remembering Jesus Christ, but we're also remembering what God has done for us. We're remembering how God has chosen to work with us. And I hope because of that, then we can be very thankful. We can be extremely thankful and very appreciative of what we're looking into here in the next couple of weeks with the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread. I think we'll also find, as we study a section here in Luke 22, we're going to find that remembering can be a real motivator, can be a prime motivator in our lives. And so I want to focus on one example here in Luke 22. Luke chapter 22, this is obviously the section closer to the time when Jesus is going to be taken, when he's going to be betrayed, when he's going to be brutally murdered, he's going to be buried and ultimately resurrected. Those are all the same things that we commonly are familiar with. But here in Luke 22, after he had taken the Passover or eaten the Passover lamb with his disciples, after he instituted the symbols of the blood or the wine for his blood and the bread for his body, we find in verse 31, this is a little section that deals with Peter. And of course, Peter was going to be a prominent. Very cool, Micah, very cool. Micah's sitting in the back row and he's got his shades on. And so now I'm distracted. This time doesn't count, Ewan. Anyway, here in this section, Jesus is dealing with Peter. And in verse 31, he says, "Simon, Simon, listen, Satan has desired to sift you all like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your own faith will not fail. And you, when you once have turned back, when you have returned, strengthen your brethren." Now, this is out of the New Revised Standard. And of course, that section, very short section there, was just Jesus showing Peter that, well, look, Peter, you're just human. You're just a person. You've got a lot of limitations, and yet I'm here to help you. I'm here to save you. I'm here to restore you. I'm here to lift you up. And I've actually prayed that Satan will not be able to completely dismiss you as he might very well like to do. And in verse 33, you see Peter's response. He said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. And Jesus said, well, I'll tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied me three times. Now, you have denied that you even know me three times. See, now this was a quick prophecy. It was a quick prophecy in that he said what was going to happen, and within the next day, within 24 hours, it's achieved. It actually does come to pass. And so I want us to go on over a little further in the chapter in verse 54. In verse 54, we find this actually happening, because between these verses, you know, Jesus has been betrayed. He has actually been hauled off, taken to the high priest's house, I believe. And it says in verse 54, then they seized him and led him away to the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. See, this was an extraordinary thing that Peter had observed. He and the rest of the disciples, they'd been in training by Jesus Christ for several years now. They had been with him, and yet everything was changing. Everything was happening differently right now. Tonight, something really important is happening. Tonight, tomorrow, the next day. And Peter, of course, is very intrigued. He's very curious. And so it says he followed at a distance. In verse 55, when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat with them. And so he was kind of on the outside. As you see in another account, John seemed to have a little more of an inside to this. And yet, it says in verse 56, a servant girl, seeing Peter in the firelight, stared at him and said, this man was with him. He was with Jesus. In verse 57, it says he denied it, saying, woman, I don't know him. And in verse 58, a little later, someone else, on seeing Peter, said, you are one of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And then about an hour later, still another kept insisting, surely this man also was with him. He talks just like the rest of them, just like the rest of the disciples. He's a Galilean. And in verse 60, it says, Peter said, man, I do not know what you are talking about. And at that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed. So this had to be toward the time of early morning when that would actually happen. And of course, what Jesus had predicted, what Jesus had said only hours before, and what Peter completely denied, he said, I will die with you. What had happened, he had denied him first once and then twice and then a third time. In verse 61, I think a remarkable verse here. After this happened, after this, what you might think is just a terrible, terrible calamity happened to Peter, and of course an even greater calamity was happening to Jesus Christ, it says, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered what the Lord had said, how he had said, before the cock crows today, you're going to deny me three times. And verse 62 says, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now I want to back up to verse 61. It says, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. What kind of a glance do you think that was? Would you have liked to have been in that situation? I don't think I would have. That would have been very awkward. You know, you're there. You know, you've been with this man for three and a half years. You've been with him and you've seen him perform miracles. And yet, after he's just predicted that you will turn on me, and it actually has happened, it says the Lord turns and looks at Peter. Do you think that was a glance from Christ of regret or disappointment? I don't really think it was. I think he was looking upon Peter with compassion. He was looking upon Peter with acceptance. He knew what Peter's heart was, but he also knew how weak Peter was and how weak human beings are. And he was pointing out to Peter just how important it is that you remember that you can't rely on your own strength and your own power and your own might. You have to rely on me. You have to rely on my power and my strength. And of course, what it mentions is not only that Christ looked at him in that way, and I think in an accepting way, but it says that Peter remembered the words of the Lord. He remembered what Peter had been told, what Jesus had said. And see, that's a reminder to us as well, because I believe that Peter never, ever, throughout the rest of his life, forgot what happened. He never would forget that. He even wrote some similar things in his writings in 1st and 2nd Peter. He said he put people in mind of, reminded people of things. He realized how important it was that we be reminded of what God has done for us. So I'd like for us to turn to Ephesians 2, because this is exactly what God has done for us. Here in Ephesians 2, and this, of course, is what all of us, you know, should be thinking of as we examine ourselves. We were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, or you were dead, following the course of this world and following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses. And we were by nature the children of wrath like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, God who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive. He made us alive and restored us together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. See, that is, of course, a lot of information in a few short verses there, but that's a reminder that we've been brought out of our past. We've been forgiven of our sins, and we want to continually remember, you know, that the rehearsal of the Passover, the examining of ourselves, is to help us remember what God has done for us. And so I hope as we do that, and I know that you will be doing that here in the next few weeks, I hope that we can be thankful and truly grateful for the intervention that God has provided in our lives, and so that we can look forward. So he tells us to examine ourselves and then look forward to eating that Passover. That's something that we very wonderfully have to look forward to and can be very happy about. And so I hope that this little example of Peter's will be one that can also motivate you as you look toward the Passover and are very thankful for what God has truly done for you in each and every one of us individually, what he has done for us.